Hello, everyone. Good evening, Houston. Good evening, Texas. And most part of the United States, it's good evening. And of course, it's going to be good morning in the Philippines. I miss you all. It's been a long time, a long break for me. And finally, we're starting season two. And there's going to be, of course, a lot of changes for season two. You're going to miss Christian, but who knows? He might join us in one of the episodes, right? Or in one or two or more episodes, but I'm going to have a different co-host at this time. And I'm excited to introduce it. But before I do that, I'd like to invite you to watch a live show of Legal Treats. It's we're live every Friday, 6:30 p.m. here in the United States, well, Central Time, actually. And that'll be 8:30 a.m. Saturday morning in the Philippines. So go to Lawin Media Network, like and subscribe, so you will be notified if we have a live show, or you will be notified if we have upcoming shows. And we do have a lot of upcoming shows, so I'm excited about that. But anyway, if you missed the live show today, this live show, you can still watch us through, of course, YouTube channel of Lawin Media Network and Facebook page of Lawin Media Network for the recorded live show, which will be available right after the show. And you can also listen to podcasts. Actually, you can listen to us in over 15 podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and a lot more. So tune in, and I encourage you to join us in the discussion for today. And I'm your host, Eileen Liggett Design. I'm an attorney licensed here in the state of Texas and in the Philippines. And I have here a special co-host that I'd like to introduce to you now. Her name is Neska, so she'll tell you more about herself, but I'd like to call in Neska. She is a Juris Doctor degree, which means she graduated from law school, and she's on her way to becoming a lawyer like me. So I'm excited to welcome her into the profession. Of course, she also has a background in mass communication. She's actually had a degree in Bachelor of Science in mass communication, and of course has a diverse background in journalism. So let's welcome Neska. Hi, Neska.
Hi, Attorney Eileen. Thank you for that warm welcome. Thank you for that introduction. How are you doing there?
Well, it's getting colder here in Houston because we're getting into the winter season. Thank goodness, because it's really sizzling hot here during summertime and even during the fall season. How about in the Philippines? How is it there?
It's sunny already here in the Philippines. It's morning. So good morning to all our viewers and listeners in the Philippines, and good evening, right? They're in the U.S. Good evening. It's sunny already here and everybody is already busy, so maybe you can hear some background noise on my part. Maybe the rooster is as busy as we are, so yeah, maybe
the rooster is just doing his job.
Yeah,
waking everybody up because it's Saturday. Yes. Morning, it's hard to wake up, but I like this time of the day here in Houston, of course, because it's Friday night. And you guys there enjoying your weekend already. But, viewers, even from Australia. So hopefully they'll join us pretty soon. And we encourage them to post their comments and questions. And we'll try to read them all during the live show. Hopefully we'll be able to answer your questions. And again, this is Legal Treats. So we're going to talk about some legal matters, right? That's why I have Neska here with me to help me, discuss some legal questions that you might be asking to yourselves or to somebody. And who knows, you'll get this information from us. Free, of course, because this is a public service. And so, are you ready, Neska?
Yes, Attorney Eileen. Very much ready.
I didn't even know it was going to be interviewing me or you, but anyway, since they've been hearing me before and they've seen me before, they heard my background before, I want to ask you, can you tell us about your journey into law school? Because who knows, we might have some people here are interested to join the legal profession.
Oh, my journey in law school is anything but easy. Just the usual experience with law school. It's really difficult, especially if you're a working student. You have to juggle your responsibilities at home, at school, and at work. I think it's the usual experience of a law school that you will have a difficult time every day. Like when your class is at 8 p.m. or 7 p.m. or 6 p.m. or 5 p.m., you'll still have a lot of, you won't have enough time to study for the class on the next day, because, it's really difficult juggling all your responsibilities. So most of the students in law school, in my school, most of us are working, so it's really hard.
And I can totally relate to you, because the whole time I was in law school, I was also working full time. So it's from 8 to 5, and then, I go to law school at night, and that's Monday to Saturday, because we also have Saturday classes. Yeah. But it's really hard. And I tell you how hard it is. I even told myself that there's no way I'm going to send my children to law school. I don't want them to have this kind of miserable life that I have to go through, right? But time changes everything, so who knows, I might have a child who's going to be an attorney, hopefully, in the future. So what inspired you to pursue a juris doctor degree?
Well, actually, when I decided to enter law school, it was not a well thought decision of mine. I just enrolled in law school just because I was getting bored of my life back then. So, yeah, I wanted a more challenging life, only to find out that law school really will change my life 360 degrees. Like the schedule is very tight. Since I entered law school, I would only have 4 hours, 4 or 3, or the most I think is 5 hours a day. So yeah, because when I was in law school, I was also working as a radio anchor, and I have to wake up at 3 a.m. because my program was at 4 a.m. So I have to prepare and go to work. So yes, so my schedule then was 4 a.m. to 6 p.m. 1 p.m. and then take some rest, and then go to school 4 p.m., 5 p.m. to prepare for the 5 p.m. class. So yeah, my life then had been routine. Had been a routine. So yes, that's my life back then.
And that's for how many years, right? Yeah, I can totally relate. No, unless you went to law school, you probably will never understand the struggle that we have to face every single day. The feeling of, uneasiness, nervousness, everything, you're sweating, you don't know what's happening to you. It's a lot. And although the experience may be different from between law students, because it depends on your background, but most part of it is going to be, it's the same, right? The struggle of a law student. And to tell you that, of course I'm telling the truth, right? We have another one who's going to join us today. She's a law student. So what happened here now is that I'm already a lawyer. Neska already graduated and, getting ready to becoming a lawyer. And we have a student who's still in the process of finishing law school to become a lawyer in the future. So I'd like to welcome you, Krisha, here in Legal Treats. Are you here, Krisha? Yay, Krisha. I love your background.
Oh, thank you.
Are you at a cafe? Looks like you are. Is that a resort?
Yes, it's so a nice resort.
You know, there's a lot of beautiful resorts in the Philippines. I envy the Filipino people who are living in that area, because here in Texas, we don't have much. So, but anyway, Krisha, so tell me, Neske and our viewers, you know, what inspired you to go to law school?
I am actually in the situation, I am actually experiencing the one that Neska and Attorney Aileen experienced. I am currently a working student, and what inspired me to enter law school is I was a victim of injustice. I was a victim of child abuse by my own mother. And my younger brother, who is in the custody of my mother, happened to be in the same situation that I was in. And I fought on behalf of my brother, but it so happened that my mother is friends with someone who is in a higher position in the PPO or the prosecutor's office. And I just found out that the prosecutor dismissed the case. And that's the reason why I was a victim of injustice. And that inspired me to enter law school.
You want to fight for your right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't want the same thing to happen to anyone.
You know what? I want to give you a hug because, you know, everybody go through that process. But you're brave. I mean, you fought for your right, although, you know, it may not be the result that you wanted, but it's not the end of everything. It may not be too late to get that justice for you. Right, Neska?
Yes, I agree with you, Attorney Aileen. There's always a light after the tunnel.
But you know, it's really hard to fight if you don't know anything about the process. It's hard to fight for your right if you don't even know your rights. And it's hard to fight if you have no means to support your fight, I mean, financially. But there are a lot of ways to help if you see an injustice. But sometimes it's easy to say, oh, let's, you know, I'm here to fight for somebody else, right? I'm telling you this because when I was there in the Philippines, I really wanted to pursue advocating for women's rights, because I don't really want to see injustice, because at some point in my life, it's not me, but I lost my light. Anyway, it's not me, but I witnessed, you know, an injustice happening in front of me, and I don't know what to do. At the time, I was young. I was still a student. And I know it's not right, but I don't know what to do, to be honest. Like, if I'm going to stop the person, I'm going to get hurt or even worse, right? If I'm going to call somebody, it's not the immediate thing that I can do because we're far from other people. So, I mean, that's why I said it's hard. Have you ever experienced, you know, a similar situation like that, Neska? Like witnessing somebody?
I've been with the media for quite some time. I've been covering those events, those crime. I've witnessed those, and yeah, that those instances also inspired me to become a lawyer, because, you know, if you know the law, if you know that somebody needs your help, somebody needs to be knowledgeable in order to fight their rights. I was inspired to take up law in order to improve also my media career then. So that was also one of the reasons why I took up law. And I think all of us, all of the law students also, most, if not all, have their own reasons why they entered law school. Most of them also experience injustices. So I think each one of us really has a purpose why we took up law. And these instances or incidents also made us decide to be in this profession.
Yeah, I totally agree. Krisha, so now that you are in law school, do you see yourself fighting again for, you know, to get that justice that was denied to you a long time ago?
I do still attorney, but I was actually asked by someone, by the head of PAO, and he asked me, gusto mo ba talagang makita ang nakakulong yung nanay mo? Because it's a battle between a daughter and her mother. So every time I am going through something, especially when I'm doubting if I can still continue law, I ask that question to myself, because it's not about my pride as her daughter that's keeping me want to, you know, still fight for my brother, but it has something to do with me fighting for life itself, because I was scarred at a young age. I underwent therapy for depression for 6 years. And I think a great part of me was stolen by my own mother. So to answer the question, attorney, yes, I still want to fight for my right, for my brother, and for the whole family.
And I salute you for that. You know, I mean, you're really brave. I don't even know what to say, because, you know, in the Philippines especially, we value our family and we look up to our parents. So it depends on your experience and your situation. That's how you, you know, you become who you are. But, what you know, I mean, this is really a very serious matter, and really, you know, I'm grateful that you are willing to share that very special, delicate part of your history there. So, but anyway, before we get in deeper into discussion of what is it, what's happening with us, what's happening to law school, what are we looking forward to after graduation, and does it really give you the satisfaction that, yeah, okay, I graduated, now I'm taking the bar, now I'm waiting for the result of the bar, now I'm already an attorney. So we'll talk more about it when we come back after a short break.
Join us for a captivating new series where Lawn sits down with the trailblazers of the music and entertainment world. Discover the stories behind the faces and voices that shape our culture and community.
We will bring you exclusive interviews with industry legends and rising stars. Behind-the-scenes insights and get a peek into the creative processes and personal journeys. Artists and performers and their upcoming shows and events.
Stay tuned for more updates and sneak peeks. Follow us on social media and subscribe to our channel.
Beyond Health and Wellness, Dr. Rich and Nurse MJ. Let's explore the journey to holistic well-being. Listen to insights that inspire a healthier, happier life uncovered. Empower yourself. Take charge of your well-being. Whether you're looking for tips on nutrition, mental health, or fitness, this show is for you. Beyond Health and Wellness. Every Friday, 8 p.m. Central Time, that's Saturday, 10 a.m. Philippines.
Oh, I didn't even know I muted. Okay, we're back. I'm your host. My name is Aileen Lingadizon. Welcome back to Legal Treats. And Nesca, we're back. So,
we're back.
I didn't know.
You were muted earlier.
I knew. Yeah. I was talking about a lot of good stuff, but anyway. It happens all the time to me in the live show. So, yeah. So, okay. We had Krisha earlier, but she's going to come back later, later part of the show. So stay tuned, everybody. If you have any questions, comments, please post them, and we'll share them here, and we'll try to answer your questions as much as we can answer your questions. So, Neska, what are you doing now? Because you already graduated. So what's happening now that you are out of law school?
Now, right now, I'm busy with work. I do news, write news for Lawin.news, and also work a lot of stuff already. My life now is kind of not busy. I was happy after I graduated from law school because finally all those exhausting days and nights will be over. But now after law school, actually, I felt some voidness in me. There is some voidness in me that I think I need to be busy again. I don't feel having a lot of slack or downtime. So yeah, I think I have to go back to what I loved doing before I go to law school, and that is doing the media work, writing news, talking to people, delivering news, reporting also. So yes, now I'm with Lawin News. I do edit and write news for Lawin.news. I help with a lot of stuff with Lawin.news and Lawin Media Network in general.
Well, thank you for sharing that. You know, even in the Philippines, when they ask us, what do you want to be when you grow up? And we always say, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer, you know, I don't know, engineer, maybe something like that. Because we were conditioned, our minds were conditioned to, you know, become one of those, yeah, professionals. Get into those professions. In my part, I actually, my undergraduate is BS biology. So I'm getting towards becoming a doctor, by the way. Because my father, you know, he's already in heaven, bless his heart, wanted me to be a doctor. But I really wanted to be, at the time, I want to be a lawyer or a newscaster, to be honest. That's why I want to, in UP, when you apply for your, you know, for school, your admission, right? You have to choose the top three courses that you want to get in. So your number one is, of course, your priority. And if you're unable to get into, you know, qualify for your number one choice, then they'll look into your second choice and the third choice. So of course, my number one choice was BS biology, because, you know, getting towards becoming a doctor. And then I put there, my second option is political science. And then my third option is miscommunication. So, but how about you? Because I know you're undergraduate,
mass com,
that's yes. How they say it, right? But did you think about getting into any other courses other than mass com during that time, or you're really like fixed getting into that profession?
Well, actually, before I decided to enroll in the mass communication department, when I was in elementary, we put in the you know, there's always an essay writing in elementary, and your teacher would ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? I actually don't know, but I just write a doctor because that's a profession I know. So I'm a doctor.
Exactly. That's my point. We always, you know, put there doctor, lawyer, and all that kind of profession.
It all changed when I joined our school publication. Our teacher saw a potential in me and said that you should join the campus publication because you can write and you can also speak. So yeah, I joined. And then when I joined, my first ever contest, then I won. So I won the sports writing category, sports writing in Filipino. So I started really in sports writing. So I won, and then, yeah, I enjoyed doing it. I loved learning how to write news, how to write sports writing. So yes, that's what inspired me to enter, to become a journalist. And also that time, it was, the news then was Ces Drilon, I think, was kidnapped in Mindanao area. So I said, oh, I also want to be like her. She's so brave. So she also became my inspiration then. So yes, since then, from elementary, I became the editor-in-chief of our school paper. I was given that opportunity and responsibility, so I accepted it. And since then, I knew I'm going to work in the media soon. So when I was in high school, I still joined the campus publication, also become a scholar because of the school paper, because I was also the editor-in-chief then. So yes, until I graduated high school, I decided to, yes, I'll become a mass communicator, I'll become a journalist. So my mind then was fixed that I'll become, I'll enroll in mass communication department. So yes.
Well, you know, I was listening to your story when you started, you know, your writing experience, and I found a similarity because when I was in high school, I really wanted to be part of the school paper because I want to write. But what I want to write, I want to write about, you know, like a story, not a news or anything like that. But guess what? They gave me the news on sports, writing sports news. You know, I'm not really.
So you're also a sports writer.
I know, but I can't believe that because I'm not into sports. The only sports that I know how to play is volleyball. And, you know, in order for you to write something about that's, you know, sports, so you need to learn, you need to know the rules. So yes, then I'm not really prepared for doing that. I'm not happy doing that, to be honest. But anyway, and I said, okay, I'll just do it because I want to be part of this school paper. And then I'm not even, and then there's a competition. There are some competitions. And I know you, I heard you said you won. I didn't because I'm not prepared. I'm like I said, I don't want to be a sports writer, but that's where they put me and I'm not prepared for that. So, and my worry at the time is when you go there, you don't know what sports you're going to be writing. So if you don't know the sports, the rules, you're not going to be able to write. Yeah. So that's what happened to me. And so then I got frustrated. I said, I'm not going to write anymore the sports news. So, but I still love writing. That's why I'm still here. I'm in the media industry, you know. I think it's because it's part of me. So really, and the reason why I ask is because when as a lawyer, you know, if you see me like right now, I'm a lawyer, that doesn't mean I only like and I only do lawyering job or tasks. I do a lot of things, not just lawyering. I do love the job, but sometimes, you know, you have some other things that you love to do. And if you deprive yourself from doing that, you're probably going to regret later on, oh, I should have done this and that. So that's actually what I'm doing now. Like I'm trying to, you know, life, you only have one life. You only live once. We're only going to be 25 years old once, 26 years old once. You're never going to go back to that age. So I'm not saying I'm 25 years old, but I wish I am, right? So still, but you know, what I'm saying is, you know, if there's something that you really wanted to do in life, you know, that doesn't mean you can't do it because you are in legal field. You know, like you, you're in law school, but you're still doing some journalism stuff, right? So yeah, I think that's what it's supposed to be. And the reason why I brought this one up is because, you know, our kids now. You don't have kids yet, but I do have kids, and I'm like, remember I told you earlier that I'm going to tell my children that I will never encourage my children. I'm never going to send my children to law school. But guess what? Of course, that's my profession. That's our industry. So I'm trying to influence my son to going to law school, you know, after, of course, finishing his undergraduate, right? But he's into arts, and he say, "But I love arts. I thought you support me with my art stuff and all that." And I said, "Well, you can be a lawyer and an artist at the same time, right?"
I agree. I've read somewhere Attorney Arlene that a person should work two jobs. The first job must pay the bill, and then the second job must be something that makes you feel alive. So I think if lawyering and media for both of us really makes a difference in our lives. I mean, yeah, this makes us feel alive. Doing the news, talking to the public, delivering news, letting them know the information, communication. So yes, I agree with what you've said earlier.
Yeah, because you have to have life, you know, outside the legal profession also, or your regular job, your regular 8-hour job, you know, because there are 24 hours in a day. So what are you doing with the other remaining hours of your life, right? So anyway, we're gonna go on a short break, and when we come back, we're gonna bring Krisha back. We want to hear her thoughts as also regarding what else to do, you know, because she's a student right now. So I don't know if she's still doing something else other than studying, because there's a lot of studying and reading in law school. So we'll see you in a bit. Stick around.
Attention, food lovers. Get ready for a brand new culinary adventure with the Commissary Kitchen.
Join us every Thursday at 8 p.m. Central Time or 9 a.m. in the Philippines for a live show that brings the best of the kitchen straight to your screen.
Presented by Lawn Live Stream and Podcast and produced by Lawn Media Network, we'll explore delicious recipes, share expert cooking tips, and bring you closer to the world of gourmet cuisine. The Commissary Kitchen, where every meal is an experience.
And we're back, Nesca. Okay, so do we have any comments? We have comments here, so let's read them first, and then we'll call in Krisha. Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay. Loud and clear.
All right. Can you please go ahead and read Brian Wong's message or question?
Attorney Eileen, could you tell us the difference between trial lawyers in the U.S. and Texas compared to those practicing law in the Philippines? I mean, in front of judges and dispensing cases.
Well, that's a very, very big question. You know, here's the thing. When I was in the Philippines, you know, I work at the Court of Appeals. So there's really no trial going on in Court of Appeals. You know, it's all reviews. So we review the documents, evidence, you know, that are on appeal. So, but because it says here between trial lawyers in the U.S. and in Texas compared to those practicing law in the Philippines. Maybe I'll tell you what my experience here. Here when we appear in court, and I'm just basing this on my own experience, because I don't know if others have experienced different things, but most of the judges that I appeared before their courts, they were nice. They're not rude. They're very respectful and very understanding, and most of the time, if you're a new attorney, they'll even help you, you know, in your case. And I see that happening not just with the judges, but also with the other attorneys, your opposing counsel. If they know that, let's say, for example, you're a new attorney, or this is your first time handling this kind of case, they try to be nice to you. When I say nice, the opposing counsel is not going to really give you a hard time. You know what I mean? Very supportive. And outside of court, you know, in a some or most of the attorneys that I have met, they're very willing to share resources. You know, I don't see a lot of competitions happening between attorneys, mostly helping each other out. I'm like, because, you know, I understand if I am, if I've been in practice for a while and there's a new attorney practicing, I understand what this attorney is going through. So I have a compassion. I my empathy is on the attorney. But of course, we do that, but we still maintain zealous representation of our client, of course, right? Protecting their interests. But, you know, you can do that without being rude to the other attorney. Same goes with the judges. Some judges are very strict, but not to the point that they're going to yell at you, curse you, or whatever. I haven't seen that happening. No, I'm saying that because it's not because I experienced it in the Philippines, but I've seen some and I've heard some stories that, you know, it's a different scenario. It's a different situation in the Philippines. Am I right, Nesca?
Yes, Attorney. Plus also in the movies, court scenes are like they're having arguments, I mean, intense arguments, serious arguments, that people would have an impression that appearing in court would really be stressful. So I think that's the first impression of the public, especially it's portrayed in the media as such. So yeah, it's good that you've shared that there in the US, when you appear, people there are respectful. And they consider new lawyers, and they're being much kinder. So yeah.
But don't get me wrong. There are lawyers who are also, you know, sneaky and not so nice. Yeah. You know, there are some. Now, I guess this question is also based on what commonly is happening in law school, and then in the courtroom, right? So like for me, when I was in law school, like I said, it was really hard because the way this, you know, the classes are handled or were handled is really not easy. It's very challenging. And I guess we can bring in Christian at this time because I want to hear from Christian, what you want to share with us, because she's still in law school, you know, fresh. Everything is fresh, right? So tell us, is law school still a very hostile environment? Because in my time, it's very hostile. I mean, I feel like I am the lowest form of mammal on earth when I was in law school. Like, you know what I mean. So tell us more about that. I think it also addresses the question of Jewel. Makani, she's asking, what are the differences of Philippine law school and U.S. law school? Go ahead, Krisha.
Regarding the environment in law school, I actually been into two different law schools. My answer would depend on what school you're in. In my previous school, actually the competition is there. The pressure is there. But when
you say competition between students?
Yes, actually.
Okay.
Between students. And when I transferred to Arellano, majority, 90% of the students are working. So there is no room for competition at all. We're just there to support one another, which makes Arellano a great university for me. And this is not me promoting Arellano.
I know a lot of students, a lot of students there before. Yeah, very nice.
But it's actually nice because you're in a tough environment already. You're in law school. It's not easy. So why are we still going to, you know, be in competition to other students? So I'm actually very happy that I chose the right university.
Good for you, because you found the right university for you. How about you, Nesca?
With my university, yes, it's also the same with Krisha, most of us also are working, so professors are somehow more lenient with us since they understand our struggles. I think law professors now are more lenient than before, but it actually depends on the professor. If that professor prefers Socratic method, then yeah, we're gonna have the hell of our lives. So yeah, it actually depends on a lot of things.
Yeah, you said it right, depends on the professor. Because I remember one time we had a professor that he will only call one student to answer all the questions for the entire class. And that student is gonna stand up the entire period. And why is that? Because he said, well, I'm standing the whole time anyway. So that's not gonna be a problem for you to stand the whole time and answer all the questions that I'm gonna ask. So you imagine how difficult that is if you're that person standing there.
Just curious, Attorney Aileen, in your law school experience, how long have you stood, the longest that you've stood?
Well, the entire period. I'm one of those who got picked. You know, there are only how many days in, you know, for the semester, right? So it's not actually enough for everybody to be called. So I'm one of those lucky ones. Oh, good, cool. And then, of course, you have to make sure that you've read, you know, your reading materials, because you're not going to be able to answer the questions that's going to be asked from you the whole time. And if you're unable to answer that, everybody's not going to be happy because they can't move on to the next topic. You know what I'm saying? So it's like the responsibility is so big. plus, of course, you know, all the nervousness and anxieties that you have to experience daily, on a daily basis. So, so what is your favorite subject in law school? Let's start with Krisha.
Favorite? I would say criminal law.
Like, not criminal law. Why is that?
Because it's something that happens every day, whenever you go. So it's kind of interesting, especially, I hate to say this, but it's actually thrilling to know how to get away. For example, the title of one of the popular series, How to Get Away with Murder.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that I want to commit something heinous crimes or any of crimes, but it's kind of interesting how people can get away with what they do. But still, I believe that our justice system is not that.
You believe that it has to be fixed. That has to be something has to be done, right? What about you, Neska?
Well, I really can't think of my favorite subject in law school, because I don't think I have a favorite subject in law school, because all of them, I see them as like the things that made my life more miserable and I don't know, harder. But yeah, I enjoyed studying back in law school. I enjoyed studying persons and family relations. I love learning family laws, also reading cases, husband and wife, husband and marital problems, like chismis, and yeah. I love learning. I love reading those cases when I was in law school. So I think that's my favorite subject in law school.
Family relations. Yeah. But you know what? Yeah, you're right. Because you can relate. But in real practice, I'm a family law practitioner. It's not. You're not gonna want to be in family law practice. I mean, it's a lot.
Just a favorite subject.
That's a subject, yes. But and you're right. Also, they're all hard. But for me, well, I can say that my favorite subject maybe is criminal law, just like what Krisha said. It's not because I love to learn more about the laws, but it's because of my professor. He's very animated. So at least, you know, we get to smile from time to time in law school. So I'm always looking forward to his class, you know, as opposed to the other subjects that I have, just because of that. And I remember he's a prosecutor, and so he sometimes do the action kind of like movie thing, the way, you know, when they knock down a door or something. So he makes it animated. So that's why that became my favorite subject at that time. But yeah, is there any question here? Are you, is us here? Orlando, our design, U.S. law schools follow time to the T. And that is correct. And I experienced it. I can attest to this, and I can actually compare it with how they do it in the Philippines. Because here, if the class starts at 5:30, even if the professor is already there at 5:25, 5:26, and everybody's already there, the professor is not going to start until the time hits 5:30. So they start, you know, exactly and exact time as well. If you're out by 7:30, whether it's finished or not, the professor will dismiss at exactly 7:30. No extension at all. Have you experienced that in any of your classes, or never ever happened? Anybody, any one of you? Was there a time that it was like on time? It's always either late or extending. Like that, right?
But some professors. Hello.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yes, there are some times that the professors would really start on the clock, on the dot. When he says 8 p.m., he's going to start with 8 p.m. or 5 p.m., he's going to start with 5 p.m., but would extend until 10 p.m. So we have a class only.
That's a very long extension. I mean, yes, sometimes your class is 2 hours and 2 hours and a half.
Yes. Our class is supposed to be, I think, 3 hours, but we extended until 5 hours because the professor
loved, oh, wow. That is just, yeah. That
was
just
very tiring.
If you do that here in the U.S., you're not going to have any students to talk to because they're gone. When that clock, you know, rings, everybody's gone. Very respectful of time.
And some of my classmates at the back would already buy lechon manok outside, and then they just pick up.
I mean, like during the break?
Yeah, during the break. No, even during class, they eat.
So you're eating during class?
They're already hungry. Yeah, we are allowed to eat during class.
How about you, Krisha? What's the longest extension experience?
Same, actually. The longest extension would be, we normally start at 5 o'clock, and it depends actually on the units, but sometimes we extend for 3 hours because we need to catch up, especially here in the Philippines. Super dami ng bagyo.
And that's I know, daming walang pasok, no?
Diba? Yes po, that's why we had to catch up. Otherwise, we will not be able to finish the syllabus. But still, in our exams, kasama yun na buo. So, lugi po ang estudyante. That's why we had no choice. And just like Nesca, we just buy our foods and eat during class. Kawawa yung nakatayo sa gitna. Because we are eating at the back and, you know, someone is reciting.
Oh, that person is going to be so hungry and all. Yeah, I saw the comment earlier about the syllabus. Well, here, the other comparison I'd like to bring up is the syllabus. So we finished the our professors here, they make sure that we finish the syllabus, yeah. And of course, they have a really, like, we start the syllabus in the beginning of the year and we try to keep up with, you know, the pacing. But in the Philippines, during our time, I don't know, this time, some of our professors, they never get to finish the syllabus. And it feels like we were robbed of those knowledge an information that we should have learned in law school, because some professors are always absent, you know. So, but of course, during that time, we're happy when a professor that is so sungit is absent, right? Yay, she is not here, so you know we can do something else, something fun time. But then the downside of that is we don't get to finish the syllabus. So is that still happening? Did you ever experience that, Nesca? You know, in your class, they never finished.
Most of the times, we don't finish the syllabus. Sorry.
So, yeah, that's right. That's right. You too, Krisha. Yeah.
Yes. Same situation.
So they need to do something about that, because why put the syllabus and then not follow that? You know, because at the end of the school year, you're expecting to have learned all that. But no, it's not. And then it's not free. Education is not free. It's never free. It's very expensive. So I hope that they will give value to that and try at least to finish the syllabus, you know, if they're not doing that one yet. All right. Well, what time is it now? It's 7:30 here in Texas. And do we have any questions or comments that we missed? I know that this is just the first day of this of season. But actually, I can't call this a first day because it's like we're just doing an introduction here. Legal Truth is supposed to be discussing some legal issues or sharing legal information for public to know for free, and that if you know they and for them to gain knowledge from us, not just from by Googling, because you'll never know if you're getting the right information out there in Google or in chat GPT, or if the chat GPT is hallucinating and giving you or spitting out inaccurate information, you know. So it's always best to hear from people who knows what they're talking about, experience what they're talking about, learn what they're talking about. So that is what legal truth is for. Sometimes we pick a topic and then we discuss about the legal matters and, you know, and all the aspects of not just always legal matters. Anything that we find useful and we can share it for free, then why not? This is another question from Brian Wong. You know, Brian Wong is not the first. This is not his first time, you know, visiting Lauvin live show. I've been seeing him. So thank you, Brian, for sticking with us. His question is, how does AI improve the practice of law? Now, I want to ask first, how does AI improve the study of law? Let's start with Krisha. I rephrased the question so I don't have to answer it. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, so how does AI improve studying of law? I think the most beneficial AI could bring to me as a law student is because it already outlines, for example, the contents of the case. So it would be much easier for me to read the summary or the digested case. So, but I'm not, personally, I do not recommend AI in reading cases because the important facts are sometimes not included in there, and which the professor also is going to ask, or it is crucial to the case itself.
Yeah, well, I agree with what you've said, because as I say, sometimes AI hallucinates, so you don't know. You always have to check the information, so it's just going to be double work. You know, during my law school time, I don't know if we have the same number of cases to read every night. At some point, we were given 20 cases to read every night and for the next day to discuss in class. So why 20 cases? Because they just go over it quickly. They just ask you some questions about the case, but you don't know which case you're going to be asked of to answer, to discuss. So that's why it's hard to read 20 cases in one night. So what we do, we gather a group of, you know, friends in law school who take the same class, and so we assign, we divide. Let's say, for example, there are four of us, we divide it into the four, so then each one will only read five cases, and like what you mentioned, we kind of create a summary. What do you call it? Digest, you know?
Yes, case digest.
Yeah, facts, because they're not available, so we have to read. Now, with AI now, maybe you can use that, you know, come up with all these case digests for 20 cases in about, I don't know, 5 minutes. But it's a big change. But again, there's the risk. Am I right now, Deska? Have you experienced this, you know, using AI in law school? Deska, you're muted. Yeah. There. Hello. You're good now. Yes.
Okay. I haven't experienced using AI when I was in law school, but I just use that now after I graduated law school. And I think AI could really improve our lives in such a way that it can make us more efficient. But we must be careful in using AI because not, as you've said, as to borrow your words, Attorney Aguino, the AI usually hallucinates. So it's really important that we check what AI is presenting to us. And yeah, but when it comes to efficiency, I think AI is really helpful. It can lessen your reading time from hours. You can probably read those assigned cases to you. In summary, probably less than an hour. So yeah.
Yeah, well, in practice of law, it may be helpful also because, and to borrow your words, efficiency, you know, it doesn't have to be the law itself, but you can use AI for so many things in the office, like drafting emails, you know, creating automation and all that. So there's a lot of ways that we can use AI, not just, of course, spitting out laws and all that. And also, you're taking a risk there because, you know, you'll never know if you're getting the right information if you're doing your research. Unless, of course, it's a highly reputable AI, you know, tools, and maybe yes. But right now, I think we're still exploring. And there are already a lot of good AI tools there, but you still have to be very careful, vigilant, and still do your work, your research, right? So Brian Wong, are you not tired yet, Brian Wong? Okay, but I'm just kidding. He has another question. You want to read it, Deska?
From Brian Wong, what are the legal tech you're using now?
What are the legal tech? Okay, like how about in school? Do you use, in the past, we use, there were still like CDs and all that, or MP3, MP4 at the time. I don't know now. What are you guys using now, Krisha? Something new.
I think
she's still reading books. No, I'm just kidding. Do you have any other tools that you use in law school? Research cases that you know.
CD
Asia. Do you have any other? Huh?
Yeah, we still use CD Asia and of course
Asia.
Law Field.
Okay.
Law Field also.
When you say CD Asia, do you really use still the actual CD?
No, there's an access online.
No, it's online.
All right. I'm just, you know, kind of like, okay, do we still have that kind of gadget? Legal tech in practice of law. When you say practice of law, it's something that, you know, not just in court, you know, also in the office, law office, like law firm, right? What do we use to service our clients? So there's a lot of legal tech that we use. For example, Taskade we use for communication. That's a legal tech. As a matter of fact, it's very useful in terms of organizing your tasks in the office. So it helps in efficiency. Those video meetings, that's a legal tech, right? What am I missing? Come on, girls. You know, I'm not really into those technology. I depend on my partner in the office. Blue CC is a case management. Yeah, and also some other case management, CRM that we use. Yeah, Meet Foxy, you know, because he's my partner in the law firm and he's in charge with the technology. So he can answer for me. Orlando, our design. Yablu, Moxie, Meat Fox, and many others. Even Canva can be used in the legal world, you know, like preparing for presentation. So there's a lot of technology out there. So it's just that knowing which one is better. Sometimes we learn about this through some group, you know, like Facebook groups of lawyers and all that, or law students, because you share what you're using. Even now in presenting evidence in court, like our exhibits, it's also paperless already. You can already go paperless. And you can see that one in the movies, right? So, okay, time check. It's 7:40. What do we do now? Okay. Oh, there you go. That's a more extensive list. I am not, I probably heard most of them, but I haven't really used all of them yet. But yeah, pot-ups and all that. So thank you for sharing. I didn't read it because it's, you know, it's a lot, but they can always search that. So is there anything else before we end our show, our very first Legal Treats show, season two?
Probably we can just give a shout out to some of our commenters here.
Yes, go ahead. Okay, can you please show that comment again on the screen? All right. Can you please read it?
No, it's Christian? Just hard.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, no, not those lists. That's a very long one. There's one on the screen. It says, we were never classmates. Oh, you're talking about us, the two of us. So, yeah. Attorney Orlie and I went to law school together. But we made sure that we were never classmates. So we cannot get recitation. I mean, so we can get recitation. We can help each other. Like, oh, okay, you're gonna. So if I finish my class first and they ask these questions, so it's a strategy, guys. You know, so I can get some insights. You know what to expect, and also true because some teachers say, I don't know what's wrong with having boyfriend girlfriends in class. But if you're unable to answer, the other one is going to be in trouble too. So it's always like that. So it's like it's your fault because he's unable to read the case or something like that. Or you have time to go out dating and you don't have time to read. So we don't want to experience that one. So we made sure we're not classmates the entire 4 year of law school. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, before we end, yeah, they say that, you know, like they say a lot of some green jokes and nasty stuff in law school, by the way. But as long as you're not getting cursed, like directly, I think that's fine. That's why I said it's kind of miserable. So, but anyway, so before we end the show, I'd like to hear from Neska and Krisha. If there are law students watching us right now or high school students who's looking forward to becoming a lawyer or getting into law school, what advice will you give them that if you've, you know, that you wish you've known before? Right? That kind of question. So let's start with Krisha.
I wish I had known before. Probably the law school is really, 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 really tough. Because at first, I actually thought that, oh, it's the same as my undergrad. But no, you will be back to zero. Like, lahat ng pinag-aralan mo during your undergrad, it could be beneficial, but at the same time, you cannot really say na magagamit mo yun totally during your law school. You're back to zero. So be humble in law school. So that's the only thing that I could say as of the moment.
Oo, wag ka magyayabang kasi pag mayabang ka, pag-iinitan ka ng marami. Pagdadamutan ka ng mga classmates mo, ng mga notes, di ba? Tapos pag iinitan ka ng professors mo, mayabang ka ha. Tignan natin kung hanggang saan ang yabang mo, di ba? So, indeed. Tama ka dyan. Very humble. Kung pwede nga lang, wag ka nang titingin sa teacher mo eh. You know, like, don't look at the teacher. Parang hindi ka tawagin. Because if you look at the teacher, there's some, I don't know what's, you know, there's something that when you look at the teacher, it's like, you're asking the teacher to call me and they call you. So, kaya lagi ako nakatingin sa ganyan. Like wishing he's not gonna see me. I want to be incognito during class. Yeah, you're right. Remember, it's not madali. It's mahirap. Lahat naman ng bagay mahirap kung hindi mo alam, di ba? But as pag nalaman mo na, natutunan mo na, seryosohin mo lang, you'll be good at it. Tama ba ako, Neska?
Wanted to enter law school. Yeah, this is not to scare them, but do not enter law school unless you really, really, really want it, because your life would really change 360 degrees when you entered law school. Your life would revolve and adjust and adapt to what law school is going to give you. So yes, I guess you just have to have, sabi nga nila, kapal ng mukha at ano yun, tibay ng dibdib when you enter law school. So yeah, you have to prepare for it.
That's right. Umiyak, kayong dalawa ba ay umiyak sa law school at some point?
Every day.
Every day? Sobrang naman yun every day.
Probably schedule it once or twice a month.
Ang pag-iyak.
Or before exam or after exam. Yeah.
Oh, depende sa result, di ba?
Depending on the result.
That's right. But, you know, do you also go out and have fun, you know, pagkatapos ng finals or midterms? You know, you also have those moments, right? Hindi naman lahat aral or talagang sub-sub lang talaga?
Inuman mo na lahat.
Inuman, yes. All right, yeah. Red Horse?
Tequila.
Ano ba ito? Tequila, wow, social. So, okay, I think, can you read what Attorney Orly shared on the screen, however we can read it?
So, Attorney Orly, law is a very jealous partner. Just as a jealous partner may seek exclusivity and constant reassurance, the legal profession requires dedication and focus. Tama yun. It really requires focus from us. Practicing law often involves long hours, rigorous study, and the need to stay updated with ever-changing regulations and case precedents. So yeah, sabi nga nila, entered law school, you can never go out from it. You never get out from it.
That's right. So we are forever law students, to be honest.
Yes.
Forever law students.
Students of law.
That's right. O, di ba? Pareho lang din yun naman. Law students? Students of law. Tama ka. Pag-graduate ka na, students of law ka na.
Students of law.
Yeah, nabaliktad na yun. But yeah, it's a never-ending learning. That's why after graduation, you become an attorney, you still attend CLEs. MCLE, I think, ang tawag sa Philippines here, CLE. Because we need to stay abreast of the new laws or changes in the, you know, amendments and all that, so we can advocate for our clients and we can fully serve them zealously, diba? So anyway, thank you so much for joining us here live. This is our first episode, season 2 of Legal Treats, and I'm very happy and I'm very grateful that I have your two bright young lady who's going to become an attorney, is going to join me in the legal profession, and I'm so excited to share with them knowledge, experience, and collaborate with them, because to be honest, in the legal field, we shouldn't be competing with each other. We should be collaborating and supporting each other, because this is our profession. And again, thank you so much, everybody. If you missed this live show, you can watch the recorded live show in Lawin Media Network Facebook page and YouTube channel. And of course, listen to over 415 podcasts. All right. We'll see you again next Friday, same time, 6:30 p.m. Central, or Saturday, 8:30 a.m. Philippines. So, kita-kita tayo ulit. Have a good one, everybody. Good night.